The name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's good to gather with you today. In the midst of the beauty of this long weekend with the beautiful weather we're having, it's good to gather together and to give thanks to God for the gifts and the blessings we have. It's also good to gather together today in the wake of yet another mass shooting, this time in West Texas, at least 4 dead, 26 others impacted. It's hard, and yet it is good that we gather together to stop, to reflect, to recognize the pain and the loss that is present in this world, to ask God to lead us, to guide us towards paths of life and hope, away from the madness that we seem to find ourselves in. It's good to be together as the body of Christ, as God's faithful people, in the midst of good times and in the midst of hard times. It is good to come together in unity, seeking the presence, the power, and the grace of God. So thank you for being here today. As we gather in the midst of both good and bad, we have passages of Scripture today that speak quite powerfully. Powerfully about who we are called to be as followers of Jesus. Passages that talk about what it means for us to be faithful. The first passage that I'm going to spend a little time looking at this morning comes from that epistle written to the Hebrews, which is filled with this long list of pieces of the Christian life, pieces of what a life of faith truly looks like. And it starts with that gorgeous little piece of Scripture that says, "Do not neglect to entertain strangers. In so doing, some have entertained angels unaware." This author reminds us that as people of faith, we are called to open ourselves, our lives, our hopes, our dreams to one another, recognizing that when we do that, God incredibly seems to show up time and time again. In opening ourselves to each other and to the unknown guest in our midst, God can lead us and direct us. The author goes on to tell us not only to welcome guests and strangers, but to be a people who care about the forgotten, about the least, about the lost. Remember the prisoners. Remember those who are being tortured as if you yourselves were being tortured. Think of those impacted by the hurricane as if you yourselves were being impacted by the hurricane. Think about families separated at the border as if your own family were separated at the border. Think of those suffering from illness and poverty as if you yourself were in the midst of that situation. As Christians, we welcome others and we remember those who are forgotten. The author goes on saying that we are to be a people who honor and celebrate love, right? Honor marriage, it says. Honor the commitment that people make to each other to live a lifetime of love and support with one another. And then the author keeps moving on and says, be content with what you have. And now it's getting really hard, right? Don't look for more, don't push for more, but simply be content with what you have. It's a laundry list of marks of the Christian life. Marks of God being made known in you and in me. And ultimately, I think if we're honest about it, all of these ideas come from one basic belief. As people of faith, we are meant to trust. Trust God. Hebrews puts it beautifully. It says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" The author trusts. Now, obviously, you and I can think of plenty of things that other people can do to us, right? They can cut us off in traffic. They can get the last pound of ground meat that you needed for your barbecue this weekend, and then you're going to have to use turkey, right? I mean, right? Or you could use Beyond Beef. Yeah, that's another option. I mean, but let's be honest. I mean, it's this reflective question. What can anyone do to me? My guess is we could come up with thousands of things other people could do to us, right? But the point of the passage isn't that people can't do those things. It's that when you get down to it, when you get down to the heart of the matter, what truly defines who we are isn't what other people say. It isn't what other people can do to us. What truly defines us is that we are known and we are loved by God. And no one can change that reality. No one can take that love and that passion of God away from you and from me. Ultimately, this passage reminds us of God's power to claim us and to hold us in the midst of good times, in the midst of bad. And it reminds us that when we are known by God and loved by God, and when we live in that kind of relationship, we are given freedom. Freedom. Not to be defined by others. Not to worry about their opinions or thoughts, but to simply be who God made you to be. And if you think about it, that kind of freedom leads right in to that passage from Luke this morning, with Jesus interacting with those religious leaders like myself and calling us to task for not being very bright or very loving or very faithful, right? Because in this passage, we see Jesus welcomed into somebody's home, but it's not exactly true welcome, is it? In the very first sentence, what are we told? We are told that the leaders are watching every move that Jesus makes. Have you ever been in one of those situations where every move, every word, every action is being judged, is being criticized? Does that feel warm and fuzzy? No, of course not. Jesus knows that, and he's looking around and he realizes it isn't just directed at him, right? Other people are playing exactly the same kind of foolish game, trying to one-up each other, trying to connect with those who are important, trying to gain power and influence through where they sit and who they talk to and what they drove in. You know, I mean, that new donkey is really fancy. It's the newest model. Y'all should be impressed by what I came in on today. Things haven't changed much in human society over, 2,000 years. Just this past few weekends ago, Nick Cocci, our sheriff, had his big to-do with all the politicians and all the leaders hobnobbing, and you know they weren't there simply to help raise money. They were there to be seen, to get the place of honor at the table. We know that's how this world often works. And yet Jesus tells us a story, doesn't he? He tells us a story that turns that whole system upside down and flips it inside out. And he tells us, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And of course, Jesus can believe this and hold on to this because he knows who he is. He doesn't need somebody else to define him, does he? He is the presence of God in our midst. He knows that he is loved. He knows that he is love. He knows that we are made for that kind of reality. And so he invites us to stop trying to one-up each other and instead to start living in God's economy of grace and blessing. He tells us all, this Labor Day weekend, stop inviting your friends and family. And instead, raise up people who are alone and forgotten. Stop being people who try to stick in the economy of the world. And instead, be people who just shower grace and blessing on others. That is who we are made to be, because that is God's reality with us. God looks at us with love, with grace. We don't earn it. We simply are loved. I think it's important for us to take a moment today and let those words sink in. You are known by God. You are loved by God. Not because of what you've done, not because you've earned it, but because the nature of God is to offer himself so that we would be loved, so that we would be alive, so that we would be free. Let that sink in and remember that is what defines you and me. Nothing this world can do can ever take that away. Let God raise you up and dwell within you, reminding you each moment, each day of this love over the next week. Find moments to stop in the midst of your day and remember that. Remember the freedom that comes with this gift. A freedom that can let us welcome strangers. A freedom that can let us disagree and still see each other as sisters and brothers. A freedom that can let me stop trying to be better than others or have more and simply be who God sees me as. This is a gift. A gift that you need. A gift that this world needs. This gospel isn't some special thing that's just meant for a few of us. The fact is, shootings and violence and hatred and division and brokenness throughout this world is simply a symptom of the kind of brokenness and fear that seems to infect our lives. And today, Jesus is telling you and me and all of us, that's not what we're made for. It's not who we need to be. You are loved. You are seen. You are known. In the power of Christ, you're offered freedom. Let it dwell with you richly today. Amen.